I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
That's nice.
Oh, there's a new tune in the world, baby.
A little different style.
Oh, hey, that kind of makes me want to do a little of this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to dance, if you want to prance, folks, we are a band, and today we just dropped a brand new single, so you're listening to a special episode.
Booyah!
Check it out wherever you buy or stream music. Gardens of Gomorrah by the Sloppy Boys is live.
And let's now get to the show.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm Jeff Dutton, along with Mike Hanford.
Woo!
And Tim Kalpakis.
What is up, new single drop day stylies?
Stylies.
We are your hosts, the band, the Sloppy Boys.
Yes, yes. We got new music out there, huh? We haven't had new music in a long time. Ooh, and it's funky, too.
It's funkier than ever, I would say.
It's really funky, and it's a surprise single drop. Isn't that kind of cool?
Yeah.
That's kind of what the real mystery artists do.
Yeah.
Mysterious.
Question mark of the Mysterians.
That's right.
And people know, we've dropped three albums before.
Mm-hmm.
A perfect summer trilogy, some say. But if you listen to Gardens of Gomorrah, it definitely has a certain sheen, doesn't it?
Has a little better production, as if a producer helped us with it.
Yeah, almost as if it was produced by Money Mark of Beastie Boys fame.
Yeah. He was cool.
And Beck fame. And several other fames as well.
A legend. Guys, this is the dude. I mean, he co-wrote Sabotage. You know, Beck, Where It's At? That's Mark on keys. He plays with David Byrne and Cypress Hill, and he's an amazing producer.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
And we recorded this shit at the legendary Sonic Ranch on a big pecan farm in West Texas, Tornillo, just outside of El Paso, in the same studio where Lil Yachty recorded his new album.
Yes.
Yeah.
The same exact room? Did we get the same room as him?
Yeah, dude.
Wow.
Are you for real?
Yeah.
I knew he was down there, or not when we were there. I think he had just left, right, when we were
down there? Yeah, because they were all, everybody was abuzz about Yachty was there.
Jack White also had just done some stuff down there, too, I think.
Oh.
It was very cool.
Money Mark had just gotten off stage with Hot Chip. He flew in from Coachella to produce that track.
Yeah.
Damn.
He knows what he's doing. He's super talented. And he's one of these guys, like, if you go out with him and you're at a Grammy party or something, he would, like, know everybody and everyone would know him.
Oh, yeah.
Not that I've been to a Grammy party before, but you know what I mean.
I imagine that he would. And normally in the past, we just kind of plop and drop the album, huh? That's kind of been the previous approach.
Yeah, but we had a single, so we said, let's let it mingle.
Yeah. Sometimes artists drop singles on the way to releasing an album.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. And what's cool is in our Patreon episode this week, we were talking about best fourth albums. That was kind of coy boy of us.
Yeah, that was interesting.
But we're rolling out this fucker. We've been sitting on this. We're so excited to share it with the world because we rock and we're a band.
That's why I'm excited too, Tim.
Yeah. We rock, we roll, we do a bramble stroll. take this this new song out with you on your bramble ramble.
Oh, this one?
What some people are calling a bramble stroll. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Have a Pimm's cup, have a Clover Club on this bramble ramble, folks.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's a little more hip hop centric, this song. It's cool.
I like it. It's really chopped and screwed.
It completely utterly rocks. I feel like today's a special day. Let's end this episode by playing this new single, Gardens of Gomorrah, as a whole. But then, let's be honest, this whole kind of episode is going to be sort of a premiere party in a sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, celebratory, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, folks, if you listen to it at the end of this episode, still go on Spotify and listen to it there.
Yeah, we need it. Boost it up. Kick it up that algorithm.
Buy it. Try it.
Rank and report.
Beyond just listening to it, do that thing where you on your Instagram story, you share the Spotify thing on your story and people are like,
ooh. Oh, what if I click on this? The song.
Oh. Maybe you tweet it.
And as always tag 100 Gex.
And as always. Hey, we saw 100 Gex, Tim and I.
I know. Tell me about it.
That was so wild. It was so good. Also, I couldn't believe how good it sounded. Like,
oh, really?
For a band that is so shrill, it sounded so polished shrill.
I saw you guys were there and sent some video. I couldn't go when they were in New York. I had an engagement I had to take care of. Mm. But they were here, and I saw videos from that too, and it's just like a wild sound fest.
Yeah.
Can I say that?
A wild sound fest?
Safe to say?
Mm-hmm. And Tim and I, we worked our way up front. We're on the side. We really got in there. That was great.
Was there a mosh pit?
We were trying.
Kind of, but it's like a respectful Gen Z mosh pit.
Well, actually, our friend Lil Mookie B got kind of elbowed a little bit, and he was complaining that Gen Z was being rough on it, on an elder millennial.
Gen Z beat me up. Poor guy.
I love Gex, and I knew, and I love this. I've been listening to the new album so much, so I knew I was going to love the show. But there's something that, like, it's just two people on stage doing karaoke, you know. But like, there's not a band really. But I mean, there was a guitar.
The guitar came out at some point.
There was a lot of multimedia screen type stuff going on. It was really fun, and just like every song is candy, you know. Like every single song is like, oh, they're playing it.
They play Frog on the Floor.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, that's great. So did they, somebody told me like between each song or for like Frog on the Floor, they were like, hey, everybody, look down. Now look up. When you look down, was there a frog on the floor? And then they start playing it. Did they do like little?
Yeah, there was like a lot of bits like that.
That's great. They're the best.
They did Money Machine. They did Stupid Horse.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. I went to a fun show the other night. I said to myself, Mike, you live in New York City. There's music all over the place. Go to a heavy metal concert. Go check it out. And I found a friend of mine. Friend of the pod, and we've had him on before. Matt Haskell, who talked about the Kier beer.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be more of a metalhead in his younger days. He knows St. Vitus is like a metal bar. So me and this other friend of mine, we all went and we saw three bands, and it was great. It was like this one band was really this. The band that played in the middle was called Waylon Storm. And they were all lit from like behind and red lights from like behind and lower. So it looks like they were like falling into some sort of chasm. And it was just like, I think they were called Texas Doom Metal. It was just like really fast and like,
That's great.
There was no mosh pitting though.
Really?
I was kind of actually happy about that. I don't think I want to get in a mosh pit that.
Oh,
that
you wouldn't last
day.
For a second.
No way.
You're coughing just thinking about it.
I did do. I know. I went when I went. Wah, made me cough.
Wah,
I did when I was at a Guar concert once. I crowd surfed.
Michael,
you've been to a couple Guar concerts, have you not?
I just the one. Just
oh one. Yeah, you have the shirt, and I was like, "Well, Mike's too. A real Guar guy."
I am a Guar guy. I really like it. It's a fun show, and I'm always trying to find out when they're touring near me.
We got
to
be a little sloppier, messier on stage, you know?
Sure.
Get some fluid splashing around.
Well, when people bring up shots for us, we usually spill some of those.
Yes. What about in Oakland last fall when I blacked out and started eating money out of people's hands?
Oh, man, that was the best show. That was Oakland. Wow, Oakland, that was fantastic.
Officially our most fun show we've ever done.
Officially.
There was a magic in the air because we historically played San Francisco. Oh, yeah, Durham was wild. But I feel like the fact that we've always played San Francisco and then we came to the East Bay for the first time, the Oakland fans really wanted to show us a good time. So they brought us quite a bit of fireball.
New York City Chelsea Music Hall was a good one, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that getting kind of raucous.
But Oakland has Tim's famous guitar solo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
That's on our Instagram somewhere. We were playing Woolly Bully, and then I kind of played a guitar solo where... No. You know those solos where none of the notes are in the key of the song.
Didn't line in the key in any order that sounds like scale.
It doesn't sound the way the guitar players sound. It was like very diddly. You could really hear the pick on the string a lot of the time.
A lot of hand motion sounds. The bass is steady as ever. And then the guitar comes in.
I can hear my fingers hitting the pickups and magnetic problems going on.
Oh, boy. That was a good time. I think we had a bunch of people come on stage for birthdays. We sang happy birthday. One kid got on stage and thought the bathroom... He went back behind me and like went towards
the amps.
The amps on the wall. And we were like... He went back in the... And then after the song, I was like, what were you doing? And he's like, I thought a bathroom was back there.
Oh, boy.
So he came on stage. Well, I think we've talked about this already.
His kids are nuts.
He was nuts. I forget his name, but he was great. It was like Xander or something like
that.
But
folks, that's the vibe.
Zane. It was Zane. His name
was
Zane.
And then we tried to get his girlfriend to dump him. We're like, dump Zane, dump Zane.
And she wouldn't.
I think she got back to us the next day on Instagram. Was like, I stayed with Zane.
That's good. She should stay with Zane. Xander, but folks, that's the vibe. You come see the Sloppy Boys, it is raucous. People are getting up there. People don't know where the bathroom is.
Yeah, and we're going to take it to a whole new level when we're playing our first festival show in September at Hopscotch in Raleigh, North Carolina. Did you see this lineup? Fucking
insane.
It's wild.
It's crazy. Pavement, Dinosaur Jr. What the fuck is going on?
Japanese Breakfast, American Football.
Japanese Breakfast? Fuck.
Always.
Us?
That's going to be great.
Us? Hey, Dear Blanca.
Yeah, Dear Blanca. Those are our boys.
Those are our boys.
Love it.
Those are fucking boys, and we would take a bullet for them, and we would lay down in traffic for every one of them. I just hope that doesn't come up. I don't hope they don't say like, hey, would you guys lay down in traffic for us? And like,
you said it on the pod. Everyone heard it.
Well, you know, the pod's kind of a joke thing.
I'll do it.
All right.
It's one of those joke episodes.
That's a good catch-up, though. Wow. What a week for the band and for the
crazy
pod.
Crazy.
Oh, Jeff, don't say ketchup.
Don't say ketchup?
Keto.
Oh, keto.
Are you nuts?
Any updates on the keto?
I'm weeks straight.
Wow.
Of keto.
Damn. This man is heading swiftly into ketosis.
I think so. And you know what? It's funny. I was like, I looked up recently. I was like, when do you hit ketosis? And it was like, or signs you've hit ketosis. And it was like, here's, you know, 10 signs that are doing it. And one was like, was bad breath.
Oh, well, how would you know the difference?
Yeah, you got ketosis.
You
let me tell
you. Son of a bitch.
The king of ketosis himself. Oh, all hail. Bow down.
Is this a ketosis or halitosis?
Hold on. I got to get my list here. I got to add two more names to people whose asses I have to kick.
Oh, the chop list?
That's right. Chow.
Don't get chopped.
Also, the other one was like feeling really like sleepy. And I was like, oh, that's why I like can't get up in the morning these days.
Yeah.
Damn.
But you get over it and then you get focused. Energy and
There's
focus.
There's no reason to get up. It's a writer's strike.
I know, but I still like to get up.
That's good for your Sigma grind set.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I got to do that.
Hustle culture mentality, folks. M drive, baby.
Hustle, hustle, muscle, muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you do when you're pumping iron? Hustle, hustle, muscle, muscle.
Wait, does this drop in June? Am I jacked yet?
Yeah, you're jacked.
Folks?
Oh, yeah. Are you jacked?
Mission accomplished. Jacked by June.
Yes. Yeah.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Thanks, man. Thanks, both of you.
You look jacked. You're huge.
Huge.
You're swole.
Huge. Hey, everybody, watch The Apprentice. The Apprentice is going to be huge this year.
The Apprentice, my man, it's going to be huge. And if you don't do it, you're fired.
he was
all right, can we get into the booze news, please?
Hit it!
Right on key. This is where they just play the full song and I don't like it.
It's a good song, though.
Full shot, hooray!
Okay, here we go. Okay. You guys gotta edit more than this.
Full shot, hooray!
News, you rap rock dudes.
Cool. Who does that's somebody's signature doing the weird synthy shit. Who is this?
Bull Shots Array was sent to us by King Kang, the Kang or Eric Kang.
Not
if you
Kanger.
Have a booze I news theme, email it to the Sloppy Boys Podcast @gmail.com. And if you want to hobnob with slopheads like Kanger, subscribe to our Patreon where you can gain access to our Discord and hear all of our other podcasts.
Yeah,
shows.
We love Kanger. Kanger's a good hobnob, but Kanger, you're killing me with playing 45 seconds of unedited.
It's a good song, Jeff. You don't want to hear Tom Morello's drop D riffs?
We're going to go to jail.
were you saying there, Tim, were you saying Bullshot Hooray?
Bullshots yeah. Hooray.
Bullshot as in a cocktail that's beef and vodka and lemon.
Yeah.
Bouillon, beef bouillon.
And did you say that?
Broth.
During the episode?
Yeah,
you said
we
it.
We were making a whole joke about it, Mike.
One of our
that was a long time
hilarious ago. Riffs. I'll tell you, though, since then, remember we were talking about rap rock, which led to nu metal and stuff like that. We had a little convo, and we mentioned that we liked the song Toxicity by System of a Down. I can't stop listening to that song. Holy shit,
really?
That's good.
Yeah.
At that's the peak cool. of it, the climax when it's like, you, what do you want in the world? How do you want disorder? He sounds just like me.
Yeah. He's got that Cookie Monster.
The drum fills are ferocious. It's so good.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure. That's the rhythm section of holding it down. Sure.
That's like such a weird song. I feel like that's what you got to do to really stick in somebody's mind. If you do something that just goes down easy the first time, you're not going to remember it like you do Toxicity.
Because
now you know all the little fun loops and turns that you get to sing when you sing along to
yeah,
Toxicity.
Yeah, it is fun to sort of have a 5 or 7 minute song that goes this way and that way.
Stop you starting.
Is that a long song or?
No.
Well, some songs are long.
But even a short song with that fun stuff.
Sure,
fun.
Sure.
Have you seen the viral video? I shared it from our Sloppy Boys account recently of like a whole wedding just going nuts to that song.
Yeah, it's great.
So great. Check it out, folks. Viral videos are all the rage online.
Do you know what's the name of the guy from System of a Down? Is the
Serj Tankian?
Lead singer. Did he have anything to do? Is this ring a bell that he had something to do with the Game of Thrones theme or
what?
Music? All right, we're gonna have to look that up.
Would be cool.
I saw a live Game of Thrones thing once. It was like all the music at the forum, and I think he was there.
Oh doing... yeah, I'm seeing he was a guest. He was a surprise guest performer for Game of Thrones live concert experience in Los Angeles.
Yes. So it was just that
he sang.
Oh, yeah. He just maybe did. I think he did vocals of one of the songs. Like
he did. Yeah.
Cool, man.
Okay, today's booze news comes to us from Mike Hanford. Hit it.
Well, you remember this is sort of a follow-up story. Last week I was talking about going out with Neil and Fran to get the green mango martini.
Now, this is contest winner and famed corrector Neil Campbell, creator and showrunner of Digman on Comedy Central, and pickle enthusiast Fran Gillespie.
Enthusiast.
Yeah, that's right. And I got a little piece of tape here if we want to listen to that. You can do that now.
Okay, we're here at Super bueno, thank you. Oh, my co-host chiming in. We got two co-hosts here on, what's this new segment called? Mike Eats His Way Through New York City. And drinks? Okay, we got Neil and Fran here at a place called Super Bueno. Neil and Fran, how do you feel?
Excited to have this well-reviewed drink.
The energy is busting off of Neil. Fran, how do you feel?
I'm pumped. I want to get drunk on a mango
green
martini.
Yeah, green mango martini.
With a drop of some type of chili oil or something.
I think there's honey in it. It's not a vegan drink.
If it's honey in it, this is going to be prove tough for my keto diet. I'm not supposed to have
it. It's not gin. It's a tequila.
Yeah. Right. It's Patrol. Here we go.
Salud. Okay, right away, It tastes sort of like a margarita.
Yeah, it's like sweet. I kind of like it.
I like it a lot. Fruity. Yeah. I can taste the alcohol, and I can taste the little chili on top.
Yeah. This is a winner.
Yeah, winner.
Well, no further reviews needed. Everyone, go to Super Bueno and try this drink. I'll see you guys back in the studio. Hey, they're pouring waters over here.
It was Mike Eats His Way Through New York City.
And drinks.
Okay, kind of a tail slate on that clip, huh?
Yeah. I named the segment in the thing, so I figured I had to add the theme song for it. Yeah, and Jeff, I know what you said, it's and drinks, but I'm just going to do, the segment's just going to be called Mike Eats His Way.
Eats His Way. Okay, yeah. That's fair. So the green mango martini, a winner three times over.
Really good. It was served in one of those little stout coupe glasses, you know? Mm.
Yeah.
It had that like a fruity flavor to it. It was, it tasted nothing like a real martini. I don't know what, and there were no ingredients from a martini in it.
Could three guys like us make one of those?
I think so. I don't know all the ingredients, though.
But certainly they could be discovered.
Because they could be. But I think the guy who made it, like, he's the only one who's making them right now.
Is he keeping mum?
That I don't know. But it was very good. And we looked around and it was like clear that article had, you know, seeped into the neighborhood because there were, that's the city.
This was
there were a lot of people. Every table had a couple of those on them.
It was New York Mag, Grub Street review. And yeah, I was impressed with, I agree, it's like not a martini in any way, but it sounded delicious to me because I also, as a chili oil enthusiast, I like those little floaters on top. Those are coming through?
Those were coming through, and I was curious about it. I was like, do I have to drink this whole little dot, the chili oil dot, or is it like all the flavor just like infusing out of it into the drink?
And the chili oil dot looks like an olive. That's why we call it a martini. Is that the idea?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I get what you're saying, Jeff. It makes it
appear to be
the whole surface look like a giant olive. Cut.
Oh, I didn't. I hadn't thought of that. No,
I thought that's what you're saying. Yeah,
that's interesting. Okay, that's cute.
It's very cute. It's good, delightful, adorable.
Well, speaking of that, reminded me of New York cocktails that have been in articles. Have you? There's a place in Columbus Circle called Bad Roman. That's sort of like over the top bacchanal hedonist type of Italian restaurant. And they have a pepperoncini martini on the menu, like peppercini.
Ooh. Peppercini, the little.
Using the juice?
Yeah, exactly.
I've always been curious about that. I've got to go. I got to go check that out.
Could be a future episode of Hanford Eats His Way Through New York City.
Could be. It sounds like all these episodes are Hanford drinking his way through New York City.
But well, yeah, because you can't eat the pasta at this Italian place because you're keto.
I know I'm just the keto guy now, and that's all I talk about. But I was walking in Whole Foods the other day, getting the ingredients for tonight.
I was walking in Whole Foods.
I walked by some of their like reheated pizza area, like serve yourself. And the pizza looked so good. The pepperoni, I was just like, oh boy. That looks like some good stuff right there.
Yeah. Did you cave?
Yeah. No, I didn't cave. But
Also, so you I live in New York. Why would you be eating Whole Foods pizza? The pizza really calling out to you?
I'm just saying it just looked really good. It was like the lighting and the pepperoni.
Oh, I've seen it.
And
it's beautiful.
Some guy was, you know, picking a piece up and put it into a little box. And I said, you're not going to hit ketosis that way. He said, you're right. You're right. Threw it on the ground.
I'm just on the cusp.
I was like, ooh, you sure are, boy. Get some gum in this guy's mouth.
P-U.
So that's my booze news. It's a good drink, and it's fun. It is fun to be on the like tip of something like that. You know, Neil and Fran brought that to my attention, and to go do it and drink it and be like, hey, this is why we came out. That's fun.
Yeah, that's fun. It's a fun activity.
Yeah. It's fun that they go to New York and then show you around.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's Fran. Fran's lived here for longer than I have, and she has lived in the East Village or Lower East Side. And they knew a bunch of spots and we went to them.
That's what happens with celebrity bartender Jack Schramm. He's a New Yorker.
Yeah, he comes to L.A. And
when we go there,
he
takes us out drinking. And then he comes to L.A. and takes us out drinking. And we're like, wow, I never heard about this spot. And he's like, yeah, I mean, it's my first time here.
Well, my suggestion for Neil and Fran is like, let's get some drinks and then go to a movie. And they're like, we can find something else to do.
Yeah. Dang. Well, is there any other booze news before we wrap it up? Folks, that's it for booze news.
Okay, it's time for the drink of the day, which is sangria. You've had?
I have had.
Oh my God, three hads and three herds. That never happens. This is not an IBA drink, but we chose this special because, guys, we dropped a single called Gardens of Gomorrah today. It's about, you know,
earthly pleasures
and sinful desires and carnal delights, quite frankly. You're thinking what came to mind. We were like, this is nectar, you know, nectar of the gods, and you sip it and you slosh it,
right,
and you indulge in the fruits of the earth.
Yeah, I like that. That's good.
And also being a red wine based is applicable because when we were living at the Sonic Ranch on the pecan farm, recording this album, there was a little hacienda where we stayed, and every night we'd eat a banquet dinner all together. And the owner of the ranch, Tony, has a wine cellar of amazing red wines, and we were draining a lot of red wine, eating quesadillas and barbecue and all kinds of stuff and sucking down red wine.
That's a nice break from being in the studio and drinking Lone Stars all day, that you can finally open a nice bottle of red at dinner.
Of someone else's wine.
I made us a lot of Calpe cordials in the studio, and then there was this corn whiskey that we loved that was sweet called, I believe, Abyssal. We got to look into drinking some of that, because that really kept Abyssal us up for those late studio nights.
I need to look at Abyssal's.
I tried to buy it recently and bought the wrong thing. I have a corn liqueur that's delicious but very sweet.
All I've gotten, all that came up was Abnasol, instant maximum strength pain reliever liquid.
Yep, that is it.
Perfect.
How do you spell this thing, Tim?
I don't know. I might be saying the word entirely wrong.
Abyssal. Abyssal whiskey.
Well, this to me very much fueled the album that is forthcoming, and we should drink it on the pod at some point. But enough Abyssal talk, though, because it is, after all, the sangria episode of the show.
Sure.
But this is a daytime drink, right? This is a sweetened up, fruity wine that you can slurp in the sun. So spring has sprung, summer is creeping up. Slopheads, listen to our new single while you get drunk walking around your neighborhood with sangria, which is a drink that started way back, early versions in ancient Rome. And, you know, they say that way back then, like, the water was kind of dirty and wasn't always safe to drink. So if you mixed in some alcohol, it helped sterilize it. And then you put in some fruit to kind of make it more palatable.
Ooh, like the pirates did.
Exactly, when they're trying to stave off scurvy with their little whiskey sours. But sangria, as we know it, appears a few centuries later in Spain and Portugal. And, you know, they liked it because you could drink it for lunch. It's you don't get sleepy like if you had straight red wine in the middle of the day. This is like a nice little sipper. And it was popular over there, but didn't come to America until the 1964 World's Fair which we got to do a deep dive on that someday, because I feel like the 64 World's Fair was in New York, and it's like,
yeah,
that's where Ken Kesey and the Merry Pranksters and the Further Bus were headed. And like, it's a lot of like Disney Epcot type stuff and ideas happen there.
Yeah.
Is that like in Queens, the structures that are still like out there, there's like a big dome type ball thing. Okay.
Yes. That dome, not to be confused with Ty Domi, the hockey player who's now retired.
Or his son, Max Domi, who plays for the Dallas Stars.
But like, exactly. But World's Fairs were like huge. So when it was in America, well, we, you know, there's also the 1883 one.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of 39. That's the Art Deco one.
I love Art Deco, but I'm thinking Devil in the White City and fucking Pabst Blue Ribbon. Like, the Blue Ribbon year was the Chicago one in 1893.
Yeah. That's, I have said this before, but I recommend that you guys reading that book. Everybody reading that book. It is very good.
What book?
Devil in the White City.
Oh, yeah. You did mention this on a previous
episode. It's interesting. The whole, like, it's about the World's Fair coming together, which is interesting, and then a serial killer on the loose.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
At the same damn
a little stab, stab, bitch.
Yeah.
Hey, who are you? Tapping me on my shoulder. I'm a serial killer, and you've just been stabbed.
Okay, block. Boom. Now I got the knife.
Oh, I hadn't considered this. I'm out of here.
Shit, he's running away faster than I can. I can tell.
I'd chase him, but I'm pigeon-toed and flat-footed, of course.
Pigeon-toed, and alas, not pigeon-winged.
So the serial killer is the devil in that scenario.
In the White City.
In the White City.
Devil sort of works in our Gardens of Gomorrah thing, too.
That's interesting. Cool. Okay, perfect.
Okay, but 1964 World's Fair, this is where at the Spanish Pavilion, they were serving sangria, and all the Americans like lose their shit for it. And then it gets more popular in America than it ever was in Spain. Mm. And even these days, it's like mainly tourists that are in Spain and Portugal drinking this stuff. But this is like American, like you're out at a tapas bar or a Spanish restaurant. People are drinking sangria in America. Very popular drink. And if we're following it historically about some of the most important things that ever happened.
Oh, we are, Tim.
Eventually you get into the mid-2000s when a young comedy writer moves from New York to LA, and he's performing with his sketch group, the Birthday Boys, at an alt comedy show in a Spanish restaurant called El Cid in Silver Lake.
Yeah.
And you may know El Cid was built by racist D.W. Griffith as a place to have parties after his movie premieres at the Vista Theater, which is now owned by Quentin Tarantino.
Has that opened yet?
Not yet, but they painted it white.
I hear Rick Dalton died.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What? Yeah. Just canonically, Rick Dalton died.
I guess.
Did they put that up at the New Beverly? They put that on the sign or something like that.
Yeah.
So I first drank this stuff at El Cid and was like, this is delicious. So I always associate it with there, and the Sloppy Boys still play shows there. But I had it at a Spanish restaurant in Orange County recently, and then told you guys it was good. And we were like, why haven't we had this on the pod?
What do you remember being the best part of El Cid pre-COVID? Quick, don't even think about it.
The stage.
Chips and guac. They nailed the chips and guac. They made the chips themselves. They were bubbly and crispy and all
they were
that.
Hot.
Ooh.
Greasy.
I went to so many comedy shows at El Cid, drank my fill, and had basically free chips. I bought the guac. I go after COVID. I'm thinking, yes, El Cid. The waiter came up. Can I get you anything? Yes. Chips and guac, please.
My good man.
We don't do chips and guac.
Ooh.
We do fries.
What the fuck? See, here's the thing, Jeff. It's a Spanish restaurant. It's not a Mexican restaurant. So they must have phased out some of the Mexican dishes.
They must have phased out the best thing the restaurant had going for them.
Hey, interesting. Remember a block away from there on Sunset, a restaurant called Malo that went out of business. They had these chips. You'd say, can I have chips and guac? And they'd say, hard or soft? And you'd say, soft
chips.
These soft chips that were like not fried all the way. And they were so good. They were chewy chips.
Did you like roll the salsa up in them?
There's no wrong way to do it, Mike.
There's no wrong way to eat a soft chip.
Soft chip.
Let's get into this recipe. I pre-made my sangria today. Did you guys pre-make it?
I did some of it.
Yeah, okay. I pre-made it last night, and then I woke up and realized I forgot certain ingredients and added them first thing.
I also have a an alternate recipe.
Oh.
For keto friendly.
Now, but Michael, are you referring to that on this very podcast a while ago, we did a drink called the Cali Mocho, which is, we said, was sort of a poor man's sangria, Coke and
red wine.
Red wine.
Of course, I couldn't drink Coke because of my keto diet. Tim, you Coke do
zero.
Yours.
Coke and I'll... zero sugar.
No, no, no.
Well, you can't even have red wine on keto.
Yes, you can.
Okay. I'm not going to tell you. Have
one glass of dry red wine.
Okay, great. Good. I can't wait to see this all, Michael.
I mean, but the thing about making it in advance, there's conflicting reports. Some people are like, oh, you got to let it sit for 3 days so it gets all, well, congealed or whatever. Then other people are like, drink it fast because the fruit starts to go bad. So I don't know. I made mine this morning and I have not had a sip yet. But because it's not IBA, we found a nice traditional straightforward recipe from liquor.com. And here's what you're going to need. 2 tablespoons of sugar, 1 orange cut into wedges, 1 apple cored and diced, 1 lemon cut into wedges, 1/2 cup brandy, 1/2 cup orange juice, 1 bottle of dry red wine, like Rioja. That's exactly what I got. Garnish.
I couldn't find it.
Orange wheel. It was on the bottom shelf, nice and cheap at Albertsons. And here are the steps. In a large pitcher, add the sugar, orange, apple, and lemon and muddle for 30 seconds. Then add the brandy and OJ and muddle again for 30 seconds. Then add the red wine and stir. Then serve in a red wine glass with ice and garnish with an orange wheel.
Man, see, 30 seconds is funny because I can do a lot of muddling in 30 seconds.
Oof.
You let me in there, I'm like Detroit's finest Hemi engine. Brrr, machine gun in that shit. So don't tell me 30 seconds. Yeah. They got to come up with a better way to talk about muddling.
You know what I didn't do for the concoction I made? It was put the brandy in it yet. Or what is it, bourbon? Brandy? What was the
brandy.
Brandy. I haven't put that in yet.
I forgot brandy and OJ and I threw it in this morning.
Yeah.
You need that brandy because I always get bummed anytime there's a wine cocktail or a beer cocktail that doesn't bring in some sort of liquor. You're like, oh, you're watering down, you're sweetening up and diluting a drink so that it won't get me drunk. But the brandy balances it back out.
I'm going to add the brandy, but I wish I had done it so it's all kind of doing it right now, like mixing together.
Mm. That's mine is all sort of mixing together. I'll let you know how it went. But how do you feel about, well, I'm going to take my wine glass. Fruit. What's that?
The thing you got to soak is the fruit more so than the brandy, I think.
Yeah, right.
Right. But when we're pouring this, I'm going to take my wine glass, fill it with ice. Am I trying to get fruit from the pitcher into the cup, or is it just if it happens, it happens?
I don't like doing that. The times I've had sangria, that's what I don't like about it is all the pulpy and this.
Yeah, I got a pitcher with a little bit of a strainer, so I'm going to utilize that.
See, I want it in there because there's apple, and that feels like it's meant to be. Like the citrus got all pulpy.
It's so mealy.
Not mine. I had a beautiful Fuji apple.
Oh, I went Honey Crisp.
Ooh.
I feel like I just saw a tweet that said, don't eat Honey Crisp apples, and I didn't read the article.
What? Why don't you give it to your boy?
Yeah, I'll give it to my boy. I'll print it out and mail it to you.
Let you read it. Oh, okay.
You got to check that Sloppy Boy's P.O. box.
Oh, yeah.
We got to check it.
Haven't done it to this day.
Whew. There's going to be a lot of goodies in there.
All right, folks. We're going to go check the P.O. box, and when we come back, we're going to have sangria in hand.
Nice. Ooh, just going back to Devil in the White City real fast, I am currently reading Dead Wake, The Sinking of the Lusitania by the same man, Eric Larson. Beautiful book.
It's Eric Larson?
Eric Larson is the name of the writer.
I prefer Gary Larson.
Ah,
me
too.
The works of Gary Larson.
Me too, to be quite honest with you.
All right. Folks, see you in a minute.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Folks, we're back with sangria in hand.
Looky, looky.
Oh,
very nice. Mine did get a bunch of floaties in it. That's all,
yeah.
It's all raspberry. So here's what I did for Mike. Well, let's take a sip.
Let's take a sip.
Bottoms up.
Mmm.
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 Yeah.
Ooh. May have went a little too heavy on the brandy. Mm.
Brandy.
It's all right.
Ooh, I'm chewing chunks over here.
Yep, yep, yep.
Mm.
Chunk of fat.
Oh, so this is not too sweet. This is good.
I went with a Pinot. Another Spanish wine, I'm told. Is that right?
I went with a...
Even though Noir is French.
Pinot Noir sounds Italian to me.
This is a Spanish wine. It's from Spain called Gulp Ablo.
Pinot Noir is French. Sorry.
Garnacha.
Mm.
Garnacha?
Garnache.
Yeah. Garnacha. Oh, just Garnache. It says an A at the end. There you go. So what I did to change it up a little bit, I did raspberries.
Yeah.
Yeah, red raspberry. You know, crushed those up.
Mm-hmm.
Did the wine. Put the brandy in too late. Had lemon juice in it, or like lemons and lemon juice. And then...
Ooh, Poland Spring orange flavor.
Poland Spring orange. I was watching TikTok videos on how to do keto sangria, and they were saying like you can add like an orange flavored soda. There's like low cal. This is zero cals.
Sure,
but
you could do a Sunkist.
It's got a nice flavor to it.
Yeah, I bet
add a little more of this. I think to cut it.
I gotta say, like you know, I wouldn't mind a little sparkling something in here.
Yeah, bubble it up.
Right now I'm going full strength, though. I like it. I'm normally, you're at a party, right? And the sangria shows up.
Mm-hmm.
It's generally not what I'm going for.
Right.
We went to a party at Mike Cassidy's, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And some sangria showed up. Good sangria. And I was still reaching for the Topo Chico hard seltzers.
Yeah.
Oh, well, this was an outdoor backyard daytime summer party. You want those hard topos, baby.
Sangria, there's a certain type of person that I see in my mind drinking a sangria, and it's a guy who's wearing like linen pants, like an open linen shirt and kind of straw hat, and his wife has
probably
a,
rings.
His wife, you know, like a nice hat, but it's kind of that wicker,
necklaces and rings.
Mm-hmm. He's got his wife is wearing a long flowy dress. They're both like
Polly,
sunburnt.
Mm-hmm.
See, no, I picture...
What'd you say?
Polly.
Oh, Polly.
Oh, no, he means P-A-U-L-I-E.
Polly.
Hey, I'm Polly. Me and my wife are Polly. so you're both? When I think of a sangria drinker, I think of that the dancing lady emoji with the red dress.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
No, she's good.
Sangria seems something like... If you're going to like with your parents to like their friend's backyard barbecue and the one parent's like, we made sangria. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's sort of like that account middle class fancy, those memes. It feels like that type of thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
what's mm-hmm. that Santana solo from Supernatural that's like... Oh,
yeah. Now, have we talked about this? Or I think I talked about it with Lil Mookie B. I do not like Carlos Santana's guitar playing. I like... I can get into the early stuff, like Oye Como Va or whatever at Woodstock 69, but like
yeah.
this, and I understand that Supernatural is a 90s touchstone. Hey, one of the tracks was produced by Money Mark. Eagle Eye Cherry song. But that was fun. We were in the studio and I was like, hey, you ever go platinum? And he was like, yeah. I was like, damn.
Supernatural. Damn it. Say no more.
You do.
You think this will go platinum? No, I don't.
No. Oh, damn. Take my name off of this. Give me an Alan Smithy. Hey, so, a side note. I just Googled Pinot Noir, and those are French words. Black.
Yeah. Of course.
Grape.
Peanut.
I want to hear about...
Pine and black. Sorry.
Santana, though. You don't like the guitar playing specifically. I mean, that's all he's got, really.
Right. Well, his lead lines player. To me just don't do anything for me. Like doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, or whatever. Like he's like a noodler. Like that drum intro, but he's a noodler. But it's like these boiled down, like basic overthought noodles. Like in his best moments, he conjures a little bit of Jerry Garcia, but Jerry would be fluttering and dipping and diving. You know,
somebody describes me like he plays pretty basic scales, right?
Do re mi fa sol la ti, baby.
Like he's not jumping into different weird modes and things. And like,
I mean, I wish if he were in Mixolydian mode once in a while, I might like him.
Mm-hmm. Or Dorian.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
A picture of Dorian Gray mode.
Yeah, Santana's a strange case. That was like the heyday of CDs, the last real golden era of CDs, and he crushed with like collabs CD. Yeah. That
Who
was
that
inescapable.
Because he doesn't ever sing, right?
No. But I wonder if that was him that had the idea, I'm going to do like a duets album with all the hottest stars of the day, because it's pretty brilliant for like a boomer artist to stay relevant. I'm also even remembering... His performance that I like from Woodstock in the Woodstock documentary in the 1969 one, it's mainly the drum solo from his weirdo drummer that I like. So,
yeah, that Kevin Bacon looking guy.
Yeah, that Kevin Bacon looking. Yeah. He's got a kind of a little bit of a Deliverance vibe to him.
Yeah.
The boy can drum.
He can drum away.
That could be a good Patreon episode. Is that watching that Woodstock thing? Because we did Woodstock 99. Now we should go back to. The summer of 69.
Ooh, we should do all Brian albums. Hey,
the summer of 69.
Brian Adams' albums.
That was sort of a love fest, wasn't it? Wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
I would absolutely agree with you, yes.
It was the time for love, free love, sit-ins, dope, free thinking.
Yeah. Probably a fair amount of sucking and fucking, too.
Tie-dyed shirts, probably.
You know, November 22nd, 1963, JFK was assassinated, and that shocked the nation. But then, a few months later, early 64, four mop tops played Ed Sullivan, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say that.
And I would have to agree.
Years later, they had... Woodstock is what we were talking about. And Jeff's gone. Where the hell did Jeff go?
Walking off the pod.
Sorry, some guy needed to blow some leaves. Okay,
he's always fucking moving.
Here's what I wanted to get towards. Gardens of Gomorrah. Wow, what an amazing celebration of just pleasure.
Hedonism.
And leisure.
Indulgence.
Tim, you wrote this song, and you had it pretty well nailed down. But I remember you had... sort of a placeholder as far as like a hooky, earwormy part.
Yep.
That little lick there. Listen to it.
Come to Papa, Oh Mama, Daddy Like.
Let's talk a little bit about how this came to be.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, this is what I did. I had the rest of the song, but not that. So we needed a little zippy pippy. And this is why you have a guy like Money Mark. This is why he's the dude, okay? And
he sees things from a different angle, maybe a more experienced angle.
I was thinking about hanging out with him a lot. I think I might change my name to Legal Tender Tim.
Don't do it.
Yeah, I was thinking of going to Dollar Duts.
Yeah?
Money Mike for me.
Okay. Yeah, so Money Mark went into the vocal booth and started like just kind of freestyling on the mic, vocal yelps and...
Yeah, just sort of nonsense. He was riffing non-verbal kookiness.
And he spit the signal out through a cable, like distorted, and was playing it with a peso. Like
on a wire and a peso touching them together to complete a circuit.
Yeah. He comes up with...
Yeah.
Basically.
And we were like, oh, shit.
Back to Jeff.
Damn, this is better than the track.
Because you were playing it on a, your part, Jeff, on a keyboard.
Yeah, so my part is keyboard.
So those are two different instruments right there, one being a voice and the other one.
Let's just play it one more time.
Money Mark with the peso wire. Money Mark with the peso wire. Then comes Jeff and Tim.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tim, I needed your help on making that synth do that thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah. The
expression. I was doing the warble.
The wow.
That reminded me of the dolphin sound in that Justin Bieber song, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's like Diplo and Skrillex messing around with Bieber's vocal.
Bieber's vocal.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool to know music and instruments that well. That's like, oh, I know how to, because Mark is, we heard him like playing the piano and he was amazing. But then just to know, like, oh, I can also fuck with the chords, like
the cables.
Very neat.
The knobs.
He's a cable guy.
Now, we haven't even talked about like the verses and the choruses and the vocal parts. We're just kind of teasing you with the little instrumental parts.
Yeah, but I think that what's kind of cool is for listeners of the pod.
If yeah, this is this a special album. They'll
know what's going on.
This album has a few little winks and little treats for the slopheads who drink along with us on the show. And
Or just listen along. You don't have to drink.
That's true. Or that's subscribe true. Along over on patreon.com, the Sloppy Boys Blowout.
That's kind of where it's really going on.
Hey, let's take it back to the drink here. How are you feeling?
I love it. It's red wine, but better.
I want to not like it as much as I came into this with an attitude. I'll say it. Mm-hmm. I really expected not to like it. I did a great job making the sangria. Better than the lady at the park last time I had it.
Now, do you taste like, does it feel like it's been mixing together for a day?
Yes. Yeah, oh, good. The flavors are so entwined.
Mine's only about a couple hours.
My flavors just came untwined.
Oh, there's a lemon.
One sip is straight brandy. Next sip, apple core.
I'll save my review for the final thoughts. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, let's go make a second round, and I'm going to do a little tweak. I'm curious
second
to see
round?
If you got it.
Have you finished your first?
Read it and weep, baby.
Damn, dude.
Let's
go take a little break. Well, if we take a break, it'll give our listeners a chance to listen to the ads.
Nice.
You know?
Good. That's good for
That'll
them.
Be good for them. You know, if they don't want to sub to the Patreon, they want to listen to the ads.
And I'm going to add ice to my drink.
Love it.
We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
We're back with our final thoughts on this devilishly delightful sangria.
I did nothing differently. I'm still just drinking from my pitcher. But wait, what did you do differently?
Splash of LaCroix.
Oh, bubble boy.
Splash of lemon LaCroix just to sort of sharpen it up. Give it, make it a nice little spritzer.
Lemon LaCroix as featured on the final season of Succession.
Ooh, no spoilers. Oh, but I want to spoil it all. I am caught up. I added ice to mine, and that helps a bit, quite a bit.
Oh yeah, you gotta have the ice.
Yeah,
yeah, yep. Why is that? That a cold beverage tastes a little different than a warm one?
Because it's diluting same it, stuff and also it's diluting it, and then cold. The coldness impairs your taste buds in a good way.
So if ice cream was hot, it would be like super flavored. Okay.
If ice cream was hot, it would be super flavored. Yes.
I've had a little too much sangria.
A little too much sangrigio.
Sangranzia.
All right, final thoughts, please. Submit them.
Delicious. Love it. I knew I was going to love it. I love this drink. This is probably the best sangria I've ever had.
Michael?
Well, I've done this before, and I'm going to do it again, and I know it's going to get a lot of laughs from you, a lot of chiding from you too. I don't like this. It's not an order again, but I do believe it's in Stone Cold Classic territory.
As far as the fame, the recognition.
That's evidence. Interesting. A nuanced take, Mike, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
What do you think of a slophead holding a gobble of this and sloshing around spilling it while they kind of amble around their backyard listening to the new Sloppy Boys single?
I think that's actually perfect. Yeah,
that I like. They're keeping it contained. Backyard.
Turn the hose on, too. Spray it down your pants. Spray it up your friend's ass. I don't care.
Yeah.
Depends who your friend is, I guess.
Speaking of, yeah, I feel like this leaf blower is blowing leaves up my ass right now during the record.
I don't hear it.
I don't hear it.
Good, good, good. All right, for me, this is an order again. Normally, I don't go for the sangria. It's a little too tart. It's been sitting in the sun when I come across it oftentimes. This, though, if you follow this recipe to a T, slopheads, make it the night before. Make it, you know, nice and cold, and then pour it on some ice. God, it's good. God. And I got to say, spritzing it up with a LaCroix is a good move. This is going to power me through the blowout.
Spritz. I'm looking forward to having the rest of my pitcher in the fridge and I can hit it all week. You know, I never finished my Borg. There came a time when I was cleaning my fridge and I had to Borg out the rest of my Borg.
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish this.
The Borg. I definitely had one more swig of it. A friend was over. I was like, try this. And he was like, oh, this is gross. And then was like, all right, that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this.
Goodbye.
Anything, Tim.
I don't want to dabble in alcoholism too strongly, but if you were to have a morning drink, imagine if you had a pitcher of sangria in your fridge, like if I woke up in the morning, I could imagine myself taking like one sip, just not even to get buzzy, but to be like another round style, sort of like wake up in the morning.
Oh, the movie of, Another Round he's talking about.
Yeah, the Danish film. You wake up, you're in your BVDs, you walk to the kitchen, you take a sip of sangria just to take the edge off the morning, you know?
You're already stressed out. Ooh, I got to take the edge off. My God.
Yikes. I got to go to work today. It's a funny thing
because I'm stressed out about my alcoholism, but then the solution is
it's funny. Funny how that works.
It was right in front of your face the whole time.
I'll tell you, I like having those three packs of little champagnes, because every once in a while in the pod, we got to make a little champagne. And I've gotten I think it's La Marca Prosecco. Does that ring any bells?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Three
yeah,
packs, that, bing, yeah. bing, bing.
A little twist topper.
And I use one for the pod, and then I think, ooh, I'm going to keep one or two of these in the fridge because it would be so cool to wake up on a Sunday. Let's say you have a woman stay over, right?
Jefferson!
And you say, hey, you want some coffee? Or hey, you want a mimosa? That would be pretty
That's
cool,
That's nice.
Huh?
But she's like...
To be able to say that.
If it's a weekday and she's like, no, I'm like rushing off to the office, you weirdo.
Well, this is strictly like...
this is my Sunday job!
This is Sunday morning type shit. I'm
Sunday
talking...
Vibes.
Well, then church. Sunday you gotta vibes. Rush off to church. Father Pashas is about to give his homily.
You had Father Pashas?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. I had Father Tom. Oh, salt of the earth, man.
Brother Tom got fired from my school for being a perv.
Yeah, Brother Andrew from mine.
Yeah.
Bishop Girton High School. All right. Folks, if you have somebody stay over, you want to offer them, if you can offer them a mimosa, great. Or maybe just a coffee with a splash of rum chata. Oh, that would be nice.
Here's what
Either way, you're keeping the party going into the rest of the day.
A rose con rum.
I think we're getting a little too...
We're getting a little silly and sippy. Slippy. But it's because it's single drop day and we're proud of our work and we went to the Sonic Ranch. We worked with an idol of ours, Money Mark. We made a wonderful song. And what do you say? Like, guys, we're celebrating. Jeff is back in the band. He quit. And Jeff...
Yeah, he's back.
Oh,
Jeff,
yeah.
Jeff, you're putting out solo project music, which we love. And then meanwhile, we're putting out band music, which we love. Mm-hmm. It's the summer of love, not unlike 1968.
Oh, that's why you brought that up before.
You know what it feels like? It's like I'm back where I need to be, like sort of creative relationship-wise. Uh-huh. But then also I have my like thing on the side, which is really spicy.
It's right.
Yeah, you can express yourself outside of the rigid structure.
Yeah, you're back. You're back in the crayon box, Jeff.
Crayon box,
Crayola,
yeah, the Crayolas.
Maybe.
Very colorful, very creative, and yes, sure. You're back.
That's
and also wait, hold on. You're the brown.
That's such a regional pronunciation, crayon.
I say crayon.
Oh, crayon.
Crayon. Come on,
crayon. Oh, interesting. Crayon.
Calvin and Hobbes, they say crayon.
Yeah, and Peanuts cartoons, they say crayon. And I remember. Reading
oh, that's what it is. Yeah. Thing.
Yeah.
That's how I learned to speak through cartoons.
That's our show. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. And if you can't get enough boys and you really want to stay on top of the interpersonal drama, you gotta get the blowout. You gotta go.
Right.
You gotta go to patreon.com/thesloppyboys. Slap down the $5 and you get the whole back catalog of, let's be honest, the better show.
Better show, and this week we talked about our favorite fourth albums. Here we are, finally announcing our fourth album. That's kind of cool. It's the summer of slop. Guys, the spring has sprung. Shit is over. No more Bramble Rambles. You're
summer
sloshing
time.
Around Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah with a sangria. You know?
We have surprises in store for you, folks. You're going to have a great
We got big time. Shit. There's stuff coming. That's
there's stuff coming.
That's fun.
Nasty.
There's stuff coming.
Nasty boy
and folks,
stuff.
This is a.
It's not even the stuff you think. That's what's so great. That stuff, yes, but then also other stuff.
Folks, you got to tune in, watch this space because we have new stuff coming all summer long and you got to be in on the ground floor for it.
Yes, folks, watch this space and also watch The Space Between.
Ooh. Hey, that's I have my review of the drink. I should have said it before.
You hate it.
You didn't like
it. I know,
it.
But I want to say it this way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like this sangria. I don't like these sips at all.
I don't like these sips at all.
I had a Cali Mocho and I barfed it all. God, you're reminding me of Sal DiFalco over here, the guy I first heard sing Santeria before Bradley Nowell.
Here, I have an idea just to take us out. I think we should play Gardens of Gomorrah in its entirety.
Yes.
The lead single off of our new album. But do you think that the folks at home are going to listen to it and favorite it and follow us on all those streaming platforms that we depend on so heavily?
Yeah, help us out, folks. We're really excited about this music and we're really excited about all the stuff coming. Give us some shares on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok.
Rank and report.
Rank and report.
We got to. We need it, folks. All right, guys. Great episode. And great episode, those of you listening at home.
Enjoy the song, Gardens of Gomorrah. Listen to it online. Check it out.
Bye, folks.
Tell your nieces and your nephew. Tell your doctor, tell your fucking cousin Greg too.